Hello, if this is your first time listening to Berbagi Frequency, a warm welcome to you. This podcast is about cultural encounters, or sometimes it can also be about cultural clash. While most episodes are in Indonesian language, I'm also going to make some episodes in English. And this episode is part of our Germany series. The first one, I interviewed an Indonesian couple who live and work in Berlin. Well, in this episode, which is the second one, I am going to interview Helen, a Berliner I met through Facebook language exchange group. Okay, it's a bit random, I know, but Berlin is so open for these kind of random encounters. And yet some people still feel somewhat lonely or not feeling welcome in this city. Please follow me roaming around Berlin and learning more about its people with me, Cherika Harjakusuma, only on Berbagi Frequency. Hello listeners, welcome to Berbagi Frequency, episode 2, still in Berlin, and with me Cherika Harjakusuma as your host. And today I'm sitting in a very nice cafe near the Ostkreuz with my German friend. Hi Helen!
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm good, and wie geht's?
Sehr gut, danke schön.
Yes, today is a very special day because we're going to discuss more about Germany, but the society from the German perspective.
Yeah.
Because on the first episode we were talking about Germany, but from Indonesian perspective. Mm-hmm. So in order to have a richer views about this very interesting country, mm-hmm. So that's why I'm inviting you here. And Helen is a teacher, and she's been teaching for how many years?
For about 4.5 years now.
4.5 years. Yeah. And you've been here for how long in Berlin?
I'm actually born and raised in Berlin. Mm-hmm. And I lived almost like my whole life here. I just went abroad for about 4 or 5 years to different countries. But mm-hmm. most of the time I lived here in right. Berlin.
Yeah. Okay. And because today when we are recording this podcast, it's still October. And Germany just recently commemorated the reunification. It's now, 30 years since it's reunified.
30 years anniversary.
Yes. And I did not see any big celebration here. Mm-hmm. Only I saw like a modest gathering or mm-hmm. festival across the city. What this day means to the German these days? Mm-hmm. Does it still mean something?
Yeah, I think it's still really present and relevant today. And we have a lot of people actually coming to Berlin, I think, on this day. And it's actually a national holiday. Right. So I think, I mean, in terms of, you know, politically, it's still really relevant and timely. And the reunification is still, you know, an important issue and is talked about, like, you know, daily, weekly. It's like, you know, it's very, it's still an up-to-date topic. So, and the celebration, I think there are some gatherings, but it's not really like a massive festival, I would say. Maybe it's not that much talked about among younger people anymore. Mm-hmm. I think it's maybe more present in the minds of maybe the people that are, you know, that generation that was affected by the war.
Right.
And so my parents' generation, my grandparents' generation. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. Whenever I speak with like the older generation of Germans, it seems to me that the memory of the past is still there, mm-hmm. and it's not to be forgotten, because of course there are important lessons from this history. And were you born already during this time? Not yet.
Yeah,
right?
My family is from West Berlin, mm-hmm. actually. Mm-hmm. Both of my parents, but we had family in the east part of Berlin.
Yeah.
So I was born 84. Mm-hmm. So before when the wall was still there.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, there are quite, you know, some interesting family stories also, mm-hmm. because my parents, I mean, since we had like family over on the other side, so sometimes my dad went over like with a visiting day pass or something. That if you were from West Germany, you were allowed to travel over there. That was quite easy, like maybe for a day or so. But like to, you know, you weren't allowed to leave the east part of the city.
Right.
So
right.
For us, like for my family on the west side of Berlin, it was quite, you know, you were pretty free to still move around.
Yeah.
And so one time my dad told me that every time they went over to visit family, everyone was asking for like specific things that they didn't have in the East part. So
like what? Coffee?
No, more like popular media stuff.
More
like, you know, like CDs or like audio stuff or
maybe
like music. Magazines, certain magazines that were not, you know, available in the East part. And he said he actually hid the stuff like in his car. And that was actually quite dangerous, I think. I mean, if you were from the west of Berlin, I think that they wouldn't have kicked you out, you know. I mean, they would have just maybe sent you back to the west of Berlin, basically, you know. I mean, they wouldn't have done anything to you in the east part. They wouldn't have kept you there or whatever. But like, they would have just said, you know, you're not going to get a day pass anymore. But that was something that like he told me. And also my mom said that some of the, you know, the female like family members, they said, oh, can you bring us like some specific stuff for like baking, for example, or like cooking, because not everything was available. So sometimes it was more difficult to prepare certain dishes or, you know,
Germany has turned into a very dynamic country, I would say, especially in the city of Berlin. It has turned to be a melting pot of all cultures, religions, professions. What do you think about this progress?
Well, I think Berlin is really international, like really multicultural. It's, you know, it's really, I would say, an international city. A lot of people want to come to Berlin, like move to Berlin to live here because, the salary compared to like, you know, expenses, are the ratio is really great. So I think there's a lot of international influx in terms of people. And then also we have, you know, the older generations of like people who came here from Turkey and the Middle East, like in the 60s and 70s. So yeah, I think it's a really international city.
And we actually received a question from my friend Dennis, who actually lives in France. She's curious because Germany receives a high number of inflow of migrants and refugees lately. How do the government and the society manage this so far?
So I think the refugee wave, kind of what they call it in German, came in 2015. And started like I think it started with the Syrian war and like mainly, you know, refugees coming in from Syria and the Middle East. And I think the government handled it like was kind of like overwhelmed at the start, but kind of like gotten better at handling it, I would say, over the years. And also like they, you know, extended funding and like set up new like administrative bodies to deal with all the, you know, the influx of the refugees and the migrants. So I think by now, I mean, I think the system works quite well, even though of course you always have, you know, things, there are always things to improve, But I mean, in terms of education and, you know, like language courses and like that works really well in terms of, I think, integration into the job market, the labor market, they could do better or like improve. But I think we're like kind of we're on the right track, more or less.
When you were teaching the children of refugees, how was your experience and how did they how were they prepared to integrate well in the society?
Yeah, so I was teaching a refugee class at primary school, and the kids were like, it was an international class, like a lot of refugee kids. And so my job was basically, you know, helping them to learn the language. And basically, so it was like the first step towards integration. And some kids, they stayed for shorter periods of time, some stayed for longer periods of time, but I think generally it was really good idea of the government to have these like preparation language prep classes, so kids have it easier to integrate into like, you know, normal school classes later on. But it was a really like really rewarding experience for me. I liked that all the kids brought something, you know, to the classroom, like in terms of their culture, their language. It was like for
where
me
were they
really
from?
Like from where exactly the countries? So, I mean, it was changing every year, but like mostly from Iran, Afghanistan, Syria, Eastern Europe. Right. But we also had kids from like South America, Russia. Mm-hmm. So pretty much like from all over the place.
Yeah, it was a good mix of
It was really diversity. Like an really high diversity. Mm-hmm.
We receive another question from my good friend Tika, based in Jakarta. Hello, Tika. We received this question. This is actually very interesting because she's asking about the typical stereotype of German people who are so serious and, you know, they don't laugh. Mm. Is it true? Because I see that you smile and laugh a lot.
Yeah, that's a really interesting question, actually.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, this is like a German tram in the background. Sorry, guys. very realistic, like German street noises. So I would say for some people it's true. You know, it's like always. I mean, I think it's difficult to generalize like a nationality. So you have like, you know, more serious people, people that are really fun and. But there's actually this German saying that certain people like go to the ground floor to laugh, which basically means like, you know, you don't see that many people laughing outside. The Germans are, I would say, not so, you know, open with their emotions, maybe. Mm. Maybe that comes closer to the truth.
Yeah.
And maybe that comes across a bit serious. Mm-hmm. From other, if you're from a culture that's more, you know, open, maybe. Maybe Germans take life sometimes a bit serious, you know. I mean, maybe that's it, but I wouldn't say that, you know, in their hearts like people are generally serious or so that would be my take on it.
So another tram arrived, but if you follow closely the Facebook expat group, because I'm in that group now, and there's always like people in this group complaining about, oh, Germans customer service are so bad, and they treat with like unfriendly manner, and sometimes even the like customer service in either in the bank or in a shop or whatever, they are being like so rude towards immigrants. And why is this?
Why is that? Oh, that's a hard question. I mean, I would say, like, I mean, I'm born and raised in Berlin, so I would say the Berlin customer service would probably not win a prize for, like, you know, the customer friendliness. But like, that's like, I don't know when it started or what it's about. But like, it's maybe it has to do with the seriousness. I mean, maybe it comes across sometimes as a bit rude. Because people are not, you know, kind of super smiley, hyper friendly, like what you used to, maybe if you travel to the US or the UK,
mm-hmm.
or like maybe, you know, Anglo-Saxon countries. I think that's very like ingrained in their culture. And I think in Germany, people are more direct and more blunt. And I think if, you know, someone feels a certain way, they don't change maybe the outward appearance towards you just because you're a customer. So that's more the point, I think. I wouldn't take it personally, you know.
You're probably just having a bad day.
Because they are like, you know, they are, even as a German person, if I go somewhere, they treat me exactly the same way. You know, I also complain about sometimes like the German or the Berlin like service desert, what they call it in German, like this service Wüste. Yeah, I mean, I would say it's actually true. It's not like, you know, typical. I mean, maybe it's a stereotype, but it's also true.
Yeah.
Having been in Berlin for now more than a month, what I observe here is that there are more and more people turning to become vegan or vegetarian. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of stuff are like bio and vegan, mm-hmm. and all cosmetics and everything, almost everything is now labeled, right?
Yeah. It's like free from eggs.
Be it palm oil, maybe Indonesian palm oil, who knows. I really adore this ecological consciousness. When did it start, actually, people, you know, becoming more aware of environmental, ecological issues?
Yeah, that's also a good question. I think generally that green movement started, you know, quite early in Germany, like maybe in the 70s, and it's like grown bigger and bigger. And I mean, we have quite an active and big green party, and like also quite a big, like quite a lot of green active, you know, youth groups. And so I think like generally youth activism is quite big in Germany. Also like, and that, you know, all these like groups and clubs, I mean, they have their specific like focus, you know, on a specific topic. But like, it's just generally, I would say, quite, you know, a lot of people are interested in these topics. And especially like when it comes to like veganism and vegetarianism, it's like, I think it's like maybe grown in the last maybe 5 to 10 years, yeah, I would say.
But what triggered this movement, let's say?
Yeah.
And now it's, yeah, it seems to me it becomes something hipster, right? It has become like, you know,
yeah, it's kind
a
of
young
it's,
people's
it's become
lifestyle.
Almost like a, like a lifestyle trend.
Yeah.
So I think there are two maybe types of people. So one group is maybe more concerned about animal welfare, and like, you know, so it's more about that kind of reason. And then for the other group, it's more of a, I would say, health and lifestyle reason, or maybe motivation. So it's about this, you know, healthy lifestyle, like sports and fitness, also maybe grown with like this whole like Instagram hype and like sharing experiences and sharing, I mean, people are sharing, you know, pictures about their what they eat and like how they work out, and so so these are, I think, two major groups. And but I mean, yeah, generally I think people in Berlin especially are very conscious about certain topics, and also definitely veganism. I mean, vegetarianism was quite big, but now veganism is really, really big in Berlin. And so I actually noticed in the last few months like a lot of shops opening
new
that are
shops,
really geared
right?
towards like younger people with a certain like, you know, food and lifestyle. So yes, it's definitely getting bigger.
Yeah, I remember when I live in a shared flat with a girl, she's from Austria, and she one day decided to turn vegan, and she removed the seat from her bike just because it's made of leather, and she's like, okay, I'm not a vegan, I don't want to touch anything that has to do with animals.
Yeah,
so she removed it, and I said, what are you doing? Because it, you know, it's not even comfortable to sit on. But yeah, it's interesting how
very strict.
It's very strict, out of the blue. But yeah, it was funny for me to to see. And you yourself now also, you know, starting to consume less meat, right?
Yeah, I it's because my mom used to cook with like, she always tried to cook with meat substitutes. So when I'm kind of used to it, because, you know, I always ate, you know, my mom always cooked with like tofu or whatever. Not always, but like, let's say 80% of the time. So for me, it's kind of, I'm used to it. And I mean, I also try to reduce my meat consumption.
Yeah.
And for me, it's more maybe the reason, I think I belong to the animal welfare group, rather than to the hipster lifestyle, veganism, veganist hype, you know, super hip group.
Alright, many thanks Helen for joining us in Berbagi Frequency.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And I hope that one day we can welcome you in Indonesia.
Yeah, hopefully, one day.
All
I definitely want to come over sometime and see your beautiful country.
Yes, we can do yoga together.
Yeah, that's true.
Alright, cheers, thank
Bye.
You.
Cheers. Bye.